So y'all, we're just going to continue last lesson in our sermon series, Baggage Check. I want to thank Reverend Brown on last week for bringing us such a wonderful message. And so we conclude with our final message, lesson number 3, as we talk about baggage check. And so baggage check, y'all. Too many of us, y'all, are still walking around carrying too much heavy baggage. I know y'all worshiped and y'all praised today, but too many people have this weight that you need to unpack. Minister Terrell alluded to it this morning. Listen, Jesus died on the cross for your sins and my sins. But he died on the cross for all the weights that we carry. He took it to Calvary with him. And so all of your past pains and your mistakes and your bad choices, listen, leave that stuff with Jesus. Leave it at the cross. He's already forgiven you. You got to forgive yourself. Thank you for that message this morning. He's already forgiven you. You have to forgive yourself. And so in the last weeks, we unpacked the first sermon in this series. We titled it Let It Go. We went from Ephesians 4, verses 31 through 32. Well, Paul said, listen, y'all, we have to get rid of some stuff. He talked about some stuff like anger and rage and harsh words and bitterness, that we need to get rid of that, but we need to put on some kindness and some gentleness. We need to be able to forgive one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I it's hard for me to say I want to be gracious towards you and kind and gentle towards you, but I'm holding a grudge against you. That we need to be able to get rid of some stuff as brothers and sisters in Christ and truly love one another. And so we also talk from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, where Paul says, listen, bear each other's burdens. Just that simple. That God called each and every one of us to be burden bearers. That there are moments in my life when I'm going through some changes, going through some things, and I need somebody by my side, and you need the same thing. And God called us as brothers and sisters in Christ to bear each other's burdens. But it's difficult for me to bear a burden if my heart ain't right towards you. God called you and me to be burden bearers. So turn with me in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. Final installment of this preaching series, Baggage Check. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Again, so grateful for all of you in the house. Continued prayers for our students, our teachers, faculty, superintendents, those working in the cafeterias, those driving buses, everybody in this educational system. We lift you in prayer. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So this final message, I want to speak from the thought, I won't let it weigh me down. I won't let it weigh me down. As a matter of fact, I refuse to let it weigh me down. So on this track of life, I believe that so many people are carrying backpacks that are way too heavy. Financial debt, relational trouble, unexpected illness, unforgiveness, unconfessed sins, unhealthy pursuits for worldly success. What do they all have in common? They all can weigh us down. Can I ask you a question? What's in your backpack this morning? But I want you to make the decision. Make the choice that you're not going to allow it to weigh you down. In the book of Philippians, it's Paul's letter of joy. It's a church at Macedonia that caused him to have great encouragement. They supported him in many great ways. And although Paul, at this writing, was in prison, that Paul still managed to have and highlight the joy of suffering for Christ, the joy of serving Christ, the joy in giving to others, and the joy, y'all, in believing in Jesus Christ. Paul's desire was to know Jesus, that plain and simple. But it was not some momentary experience. Paul didn't have some warm fuzzy that he got from some energetic Christian concert. Paul wanted to know Jesus. It was not some fleeting feeling in his life, a momentary feeling from praise and worship, which we ought to feel a certain way. We ought to be emotional. But Paul wanted to know. He wanted to really know, have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. That for Paul, it was not some short-lived shout based on a sermon filled with great cliches and sound bites that we tweet out to folk. Beyond the music, beyond the shouts, beyond the congregational praise, Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ. That's what he said in his word. He said, I want to know him, Jesus, and the mighty power that raised him from the dead, but I also want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. Because some people want the power of salvation without the sacrifice that comes with it. That some people want the glory, but they don't want to go through the story. Paul said, I want to know Jesus, no matter what it costs me. If it costs me my very life, I want to know him. Paul makes it clear that listen, as he's speaking in the text, y'all, you get the image of a runner in a race. And Paul makes it clear that he's aggressively running his race to get to Jesus so that one day he would meet him face to face. Paul makes it clear that he hadn't reached his goal yet, that his race was still on. And in running his race, he was reaching for spiritual maturity. And he talks about perfection in the text. He said, I want to be spiritually mature. Who could be more spiritually mature than Paul? When you look at his life, dude was bad. I mean, he shares the gospel message. He spreads it throughout the Roman Empire to Gentiles and Jews alike. Nobody like the Apostle Paul. But Paul said, I still haven't arrived yet. Paul said, I still haven't crossed the finish line. I still haven't made it to see Jesus. I'm still not all that God wants me to be. Let me ask us a question this morning. How much of Jesus do you really want? Is a Sunday dose enough? How much do you really want to know him? How many of you really want to see him one day? But the critical question of the moment is, how do we not allow the stuff of our past to weigh us down as we seek to move forward by faith? Not backwards, not sideways, but we're to move forward by faith. The goal of faith is to get across the finish line and see Jesus, but the struggle of faith, it's to not let anything weigh us down and hold us back from full spiritual maturity that enables us to serve Christ with everything that we, I don't know about you, I want to serve him with everything I have. And I don't want anything weighing me down and holding me back or keeping me still, but always moving forward in Christ. So the first thing this text can help us with as we try to run, y'all, with a lighter load in our lives, as we run for eternity is this. Don't fall prey to the trap of self-elevation. Don't fall prey to the trap of self-elevation. You've not arrived, and nor have I. Look at the text. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved. You hear what he said? These things that I've already reached perfection. So Paul's desire, it's pointing to a future reward, a future goal. Paul says again, he had not arrived. He had not yet fully matured. This is the Apostle Paul, the giant in the ministry. I ain't made it yet, y'all. I made it. The perfection he would have at the future resurrection was not yet attained. He still had to deal with some stuff, y'all. Y'all know what he said in Romans chapter 7. He said, I still have to deal with the flesh. This innate pull of sin in our lives. He had to deal with his sinful body, and he was well too aware that, listen, he couldn't let any of that stuff stop him from moving forward. Paul was really talking, y'all, about spiritual growth. Can we talk about that for a minute? Spiritual maturity. Spiritual growth. Are you the same person in Jesus Christ today that you were 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Are you still that mean, nasty, grumpy, jealous, envious person that you may have been 10 years ago? Are you still that way today? How have you matured and grown in Jesus Christ? Paul said, that's my goal. I want to grow in him. But here's something that can stop us, y'all. Self-elevation. When we think we now got it all figured out. We've arrived. It's the other folk. As you're pointing at people in three fingers to come, it's the other folk that they haven't arrived yet. I'm the spiritual giant. I got this thing all figured out. No, you don't. Nor do I. This a fact of the Christian life is that the more we mature, y'all, the more we come to understand we still need more Jesus. I don't care how much Bible you read, how many scriptures you can quote, how hard you can worship and praise, I have not arrived yet. And so we're striving, y'all. We're striving to reach eternity. We're striving for spiritual maturity and spiritual growth. Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 through 2. Jesus' disciples ask him this very bold and pointed question, y'all. They say, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Let me translate. They said, Jesus, what's my status in the kingdom? Yeah, you the Jews, you got the power. You the king. Jesus, am I going to be the main man? Am I going to be your top dog? Am I going to be your closest confidant? That's what they wanted to know. And what did Jesus do, y'all? Jesus called a little child unto himself, brought him up in the midst of the crowd and said, listen, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus used this child to show them their pride and their self-elevation, that they wanted to be next in line. And so Jesus was showing them in that text, listen, we need to learn how to be childlike and not childish. The childishness, it's all about us. I love children. Love my grandbaby, but in their childishness, they're self-centered. It's about their world. It's all about them. But Jesus is calling us to be childlike in our faith, that we're always looking to Jesus. Romans 12:3 says, don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. I don't have to measure myself against you. You don't have to measure yourself against me. But God has given you faith and me faith. If you're going to measure yourself against anybody, try measuring yourself against Jesus. And I think we'll all find that we don't measure up, y'all. I don't measure up. You know, somebody that you measure up, raise your hand. Okay, I know you're not asleep right now. You listen to what I'm saying. But we can't go around thinking we're all of that. Because that becomes a heavy weight to us. Because if I'm marching through life, if I'm running through life, and I'm trying to be like you and you're trying to be like me, that's too big of a weight to carry. You can't be like me. It got real quiet. And I can't be like you. And nor should you try. That listen, I don't preach like Terrell Maxwell. He doesn't preach like me. He preaches the way God gave him to preach. I do the same thing. Listen, I don't sing like Sister Joyce. You know, and she don't sing like me. And so thank God for that. But anyway. And God gave you a thing to do, y'all. Be careful though of self elevation. Because it can become such a heavy weight in our lives. We're trying to compare ourselves to other people and do what other people do. Don't do that. Listen, self-elevation. So when I was growing up, when I was grown, had my first child. Jackie and I were in Memphis, and we were visiting Mom and them, and my change was strange, you know. So I had more month than money. And so I go to my mother. I said, Mama, I need you to help me out. You know, I need some money. And I told her what I needed. She said, I don't have that right now. Now I'm a grown man because I got a child. And my mama told me, this, I don't have. I said, Mama, no. You didn't hear me. I got in the face, Mama. I said, I need this money. You know, my mama looked at me. She grabbed me by the collar, y'all. I'm a grown man with children. She said, listen, as long as you're my child, I don't care if you are grown, you'll never talk to me that way. I told you I don't have it right now, and that's the way it is. Y'all, so that was self-elevation. but Mama de-elevated me. No matter how grown you are in God, no matter how grown you are in Christ, you have not arrived and nor have I. So we're striving, y'all. Yeah. We're running. So be careful of self-elevation. Also this, you must aggressively pursue spiritual maturity. If you could drop some of this weight, if you're running this race, listen, we must aggressively pursue spiritual maturity. Look at 12b. It says, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. Here it is. But I press on. I pursue. I run after. I strive after with everything. I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Again, Paul is using the analogy of a runner in a race to describe his Christian maturity. So he's pressing, y'all. He's striving. He's pursuing Christ. He's pursuing the Christ, the same Christ that first chose him, that called him to be the great apostle to the Gentiles. And ultimately, he wanted to be like Jesus. And so like Paul, we deal with this threat of being weighed down in the race towards spiritual maturity. The Bible writer James makes it clear some of the things, y'all, if you want to go to James with me, James chapter 4, the things that can weigh us down as we're trying to run this race. James says this. He said for the first, one of the first things that weigh us down is the weight of the flesh. Our own sinful nature, our personal weaknesses and propensities for certain things. I know you say sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, but listen, there's still those propensities, there's those things that still linger in, okay, not y'all's life. Oh, so I see the whole halos coming up. I see them all over the... James chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you have because you don't ask God. And when you ask God, you ask with the wrong motives in your heart. You only want what's going to give you pleasure. Listen, don't allow this weight of sin and flesh to weigh you down, to stop you from running your spiritual race. I mentioned that too. We're not running against each other. Your race is your race. My race is, we ought to be trying to help each other. And I'm trying to help somebody right now. Listen to me clearly. If God is speaking to you, even in this very moment, about a thing in your life that he's asking you even now as I'm speaking to get rid of, to let it go, to drop it. In this very moment, can you make the choice right now to say, God, I heard you, and I'm going to drop it. Because sometimes we try to even fool ourselves. That, yeah, I'm running for God. I'm doing this. I'm serving him over here. I'm doing that. But God said, I want that over there, though. I want you to get rid of that over there. But God, I know you love me, so I'm going to just drag this in the race with me because I like this thing over here. I'm not going to let it go. God said, yes, you are. You need to let it go. What's your it? What's your thing that you need to let go of? We have the weight of the flesh that bears on us, our sinful nature. We have to let that go. Also, James talks about the weight of the world, that gravitational pull of the world system and its appeal to us. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, he says, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. He says, do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us, that God is a jealous God, and God wants us to be faithful to him. But God gives us, y'all, you know what James said? God gives us more grace. That's what he said. God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. This mindset towards forward mobility, you know, there's a struggle because there are things in the world that we like. There's some things in the world that we want. And there's some good things, too, but are all good things. I say this all, are all good things, God things. Did you hear what I said? It may be good, but is it a God thing? We have to watch out for the gravitational pull of the world, y'all. And so then James mentions this third thing, the weight of the devil and his influences. And we like to tag everything on him anyway. But the devil does have some influence. And the devil uses devilish people. Look at me. Don't look around. I'm still in James, y'all. James chapter 4, verse 7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Pursuing maturity requires resisting Satan and his strategies through submission to God on the regular, each and every day of our lives. That we ought to give so much of ourselves to God, be so submitted to God, be so submitted to Christ. Listen, the devil ain't got nothing to work with. That we're totally sold out for him. We should aggressively pursue spiritual maturity. Yeah, I remember first day of practice when I was in junior high school, and I went out for track. Now, let me remind you, I was quick. I was like a jackrabbit. I could run, y'all. I could run. Y'all looking like, yeah, right. I'm looking at you now. But no, I could run. So I try out for track, y'all, and in my head, I'm going, you know, I want one of them quick races. Give me the 100 meter, 200 meter, 400. Don't give me one of those long races. I don't want the marathon. I want the quick race, y'all. On the first day of practice, y'all, the coach gets us out there, and y'all, I thought we were going to run 100 miles. I mean, we just run. It's hot out there. We run, and I thought like 100, it was about 3 or 4 miles. Y'all, I quit that day. Because I was not mature enough to understand something. That though I wanted to run the quick race, give me the 100, give me the 200, that the coach was preparing my body for the long haul. I'm trying to talk to somebody today. Because you're on this road to salvation. You're on this road to eternity. And you're trying to run the quick race. But listen, this ain't no sprint. This is the marathon, y'all. And God is preparing you. You're going through some changes. You're going through some things, but God is preparing you for the long haul.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lord, yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So you get folk up in church, and they're there one Sunday, and they are praising God, and something happens, and you don't see them for another 2 months. This is not, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. The race is not given to the swift, but to those who endure to the end. And so Paul said, you got to press, y'all. We got to press our way. Don't give up. Don't burn out. Don't try to move too quick. Wait on God. So move on to the third point, y'all. I'm almost done. I know y'all ready to get some chitlins and some grits and all of that. Y'all don't like chitlins? Oh, Lord. That's why I'm sweating the way I sweat. So, third point. You must deal with the problem of letting go of your past while looking forward to your future. That's 13, verses 13 through 14. So, what is it? No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved. I haven't arrived, but I focus on this one thing. Can we focus on this one thing? Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. You must deal with the problem of letting go of your past while looking forward to your future. God has a bright future for you and for me. And so Paul, in these verses, again, he underlines his denial of personal power or his attainment to reach the goal by himself. Paul understood something we need to understand. You cannot do it without Jesus on your side. So a runner in a race hopes to achieve the goal. They hope to get the prize. They hope to make it to the end. But you know, you can't, okay, Shikari, you can't celebrate too quick now. You ain't won yet now. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. So Shikari Rich, she with them nails on, she celebrate before she get across the finish line. Yeah, we ought to celebrate, but don't be too quick.
And the thing is, we have to deal with the problem of letting go of the things of our past if we're going to move forward.
Listen, we can't let anything cloud our minds and our hearts as we're trying to move forward in our walk with Jesus. I'm talking to somebody today. You're letting the stuff in your head, the stuff that you did yesterday and years ago, cloud up your head and slow you down, trying to stop you from forward progression in Jesus Christ. A runner in a race, y'all, they strain, y'all. They struggle with everything that they have to win the race. And so think about Paul. Paul has to forget about, you know, all that he did. How he persecuted the church. Had Christians drug off to be killed. He had to forget that stuff. Paul had to forget about the pain of being in prison. Matter of fact, he counted it as joy to suffer for Christ. Paul had to forget about physical punishment. He had to forget about the people that talked about him, that put him down, that ridiculed him, that slapped him in the face, that slapped him down. He had to forget about all of that. He had to forget it because he had a race to run. You got to forget about it, y'all. You got to forget about it. You got to leave the past in the past and move forward in Jesus Christ. Don't let the problems that you dealt with in your past hold you down today. Look forward to your future in Jesus. That Paul looks ahead to see the resurrection. That he knew Jesus was a resurrected. So he's looking forward to the resurrection, to the end of the game, to the place where he'd meet Jesus face to face. Y'all, Luke chapter 17, Jesus talks to a group of Pharisees. They're asking him, Jesus, when would the kingdom of God come? In verse 32, Jesus says to them, remember Lot's wife. Any of y'all remember Lot's wife? Yeah. Any of y'all remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Yeah. Genesis chapter 19. Yeah. That the angels came up in there, they came up in there and they rescued to pull them out. What was their requirement? Don't you look back. Just keep moving forward. Don't you look back. And the Bible says that Lot's wife, she looked back. And she was turned to a pillar of salt. Too many of us, we're looking back. God says, look forward. He's a forward God. He's an up God. Stop looking back at the past. Look forward to God. Yes. When I was young, y'all, I used to love going to the playground. And see, the playground was my favorite subject. Recess, that was my favorite subject as a child. I loved me some recess, y'all. We used to go outside and run and play. We had a playground out there. And I loved the monkey bar. That was my thing. You had to have some strong upper body strength, some core strength to get across those monkey bars, y'all. And I could do it like nobody's business. I could just swing and swing. But here's what I learned about the monkey bars. As long as you get up and grab one of those monkey bars and you hang there, there's a gravitational pull that's complete if you don't start moving. And so as you move forward, as you progress forward, you don't have to look back. You know, there are bars that are behind you. You've already one bar, two bar. But what you have is the goal inside. You get the end inside. So you move forward. You keep swinging and swing until you get to the end. I'm saying this to somebody. Listen, right now, you're just hanging on one bar. You ain't moving. You ain't going nowhere. You're just hanging there. And eventually, the gravitational pull will pull you down. So you got to get to moving forward. Don't look back. Just keep moving forward. Keep swinging forward. Keep running forward. Keep running forward in Jesus. And so the goal that we're looking for, y'all, it's not realized here on earth. It's a heavenly reward. It's a heavenly goal. But we got to move forward to get it. So as a priority, you have to start with the end in sight. I'm done with after this. As a priority, you have to start with the end in sight. Let's go back to 13 and 14 again real quick. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Like a runner who has the end of the race in mind, the finish line. Listen, we have to have the finish line in mind at the start of our race. Paul already had heaven in mind from the start of his race. His goal was to win the prize for which God had called him in Christ Jesus. He wants to hear God call his name, y'all. He wants to hear God to summon him and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That he's striving for the victory in Jesus. Listen, Earthly prizes don't last, y'all. What are you running for today? A title, success, big name, big bank. What are you running for? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but chiefly we ought to be running for Jesus. That's the race that we're really in today, y'all. It's a goal again that pulls us heavenwardly towards God, towards Jesus. The writer of Hebrews said it this way in Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let's run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You see what I'm saying? We start with the end in mind. That's what Revelation 21, 1 through 4 says. That's the end where then I, John, said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. This is the end, y'all. And he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. No more sorrow, no more death, no more grief, no more pain. That's the end we're looking for. So what are you looking for? We have to keep the start of this race, the end in mind. Some of y'all remember the great baseball player, Reggie Jackson. That Reggie Jackson was known as Mr. October. Somebody know it. He got his nickname because that Reggie would shine. He would shine during the postseason playoffs. The postseason playoffs, as they're moving towards the World Series, trying to get the World Series. That anytime Reggie Jackson would come up to bat in October, listen, he was going to knock the ball over somebody's fence. But Reggie Jackson, in order to get to the postseason, had to get through the regular season. His secret, listen to me, his secret to shining in the regular season was to keep his eye on October. Yeah. I believe God is looking for some Mr. and Mrs. Octobers, that you got your eyes on October. You got your eyes on the prize. You got your eyes on heaven. You got your eyes on eternity. You have your eyes on Jesus, fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. But guess what? In the regular season, y'all, you got to keep on running. Look at the prize. Look at Jesus, all that he has in store for you. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on Jesus so that everything that's trying to weigh you down, hold you down, and hold you back. Listen, you can shake it off and keep running towards Jesus. October is coming, y'all. Eternity is coming. Heaven is coming. But what are you looking at today? What's holding you down? What's weighing you down from running your race with everything that you've got? Striving to be spiritually mature and grown in Christ. Are you the same person today as you were 10 and 15 years ago? Now, maybe some of y'all can say that because you were running hard a long time ago. And you're running hard today. But all of us, y'all, all of us ought to be better for Jesus. More grown, more mature. Do y'all get the message this morning? I know y'all ready to go. I know we're going to get out of here. But I want you to get the message this morning. Yes, sir. Listen, yes, sir. Whatever is weighing you down in this very moment. Everybody stand to your feet for just a minute. Just stand up on your feet. Whatever's stopping you from running your race with everything that you've got. Whatever may be impeding your spiritual maturity. I want you to shake it off. As a symbol, can we just do this? Just real quick. Whatever it is. I refuse to let it hold me down. I refuse to let it hold me back. I'm running for Jesus. I'm running this race with everything I got. I'm shaking some stuff in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm letting it go. I'm shaking it out in the name of Jesus. Let my sins go. Let my troubles go. Let my pain go. I'm letting it go right now in the name of Jesus because I got a race to run. And I'm letting it go. I'm letting it go, y'all. Let it go, somebody. Let it go. Let it go. God said, let it go. Let it go. God said, let it go. He said, let it go. Let it go. because you have a race to run. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for this preaching series. That too often times we're carrying baggage that we should not be carrying. That you died for our sins. You died to give us a great future and a hope. And God, you called us to run a race. And to run this race with endurance. To journey through this life. Living a life that pleases you. And so, Father, I pray for this congregation of people, those that are listening in on Facebook Live right now. That God, for real, for real, for real, for real, for real, for real, today, let today be the day, let today be the day. That we won't walk out of here and say, yeah, I'm still carrying some stuff, but I like this stuff and I ain't letting it go yet. That I'm still carrying some stuff, but you don't understand my plight. You don't understand what I've been through, but God does. You don't understand how dark it was, how bad it was. You don't understand, but God does. And today he said, let it go. Drop it. Not 5 steps, 5 points, but right now, let it go. Surrender it to him. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Let it go. Let it go today. And don't pick it back up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.